crime, they don't matter, genocide. Sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care. Censorship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for them more. They shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn the kids. No one makes gun, trees, lie to your face, fight and die, cause God forgives. Buying time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social side, they don't matter, genocide. Sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care. See the shit, force a bear, fuck them back, that's only fair. They bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn the kids. No one makes countries lie to your face. Fight and die, cause God forgives. Yeah.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV, and I'm your host for the next hour. It is Thursday, the 3rd of May, and it's still cool. It's wet, but sooner or later, maybe, if we're lucky, yesterday was a beautiful day. The nicest day we had this year so far by a long shot, but apparently that was short-lived and we're not going to see another one for a while. But I guess we have to be patient. So what's going on in the world today? Well, let's see here. Okay, our Prime Minister, even though no one has called 24 Sesame Drive for home for more than 2 years, staff have been using the residence's fully operational kitchen to prepare meals for the Trudeau family, which are then ferried across the way to Rideau Cottage. That's because the Trudeau's don't know how to cook, I guess. But anyways, let's see. Let's see. If there's anything interesting. I just got home a bit ago. Police... This looks like a funny story. Police officers charged with theft after Scarface statues stolen from suspected drug dealer. Fort Peel officers charged with theft perjury after Scarface statues stolen from suspected drug dealer. You gotta love the police. Let's see. Theft and perjury Thursday after Ontario Superior Court judge concluded last year that the men stole the statue of Scarface character Tony Montana while executing a search warrant in 2014 and then lied while under oath. Well, I've been in court before and the police are always lying while they're under oath. It's part of their job is to lie. It's a huge part of their job. Following the decision, the officers were suspended with pay, of course, and an internal investigation was launched by Peel Regional Police Service last May. As a result, the court's findings, several drug-related charges were stayed against the defendant, Lowell Somerville. Our officers are held to the highest standard in order to maintain the trust that we have worked so hard to build within our community, said Peel Police Chief Jennifer Evans in a statement on Thursday. Of course, she's lying as well. Held to the highest standard. Give me a break. In order to maintain the trust. Give me a break. The charges against all four men were laid after a lengthy in-depth investigation and after consulting with the Ministry of the Attorney General's office. The statement reads, the officers face one count each of theft under $5,000, one count each of obstructing police, and two counts each of perjury, the statement said. Well, that's nothing new. It's nice to see they get busted. One-of-a-kind Tony Montana statue is missing. At the time of the trial, Justice Jennifer Wolcombe determined that Constable Richard Rene, one of the four officers who had carried out a search on a storage locker being rented at Somerville, had stolen a large statue depicting drug kingpin Tony Montana. Rene, alongside Constable Darren Savino, Constable Larry Morenson, and Sergeant Emmanuel Pinheiro then proceeded to lie about what had happened with the intention of deceiving the court about what they'd done. Wolcombe wrote in a statement last May describing their behavior as not only profoundly disappointing, but shocking. Solville, whose charges included trafficking and possession of heroin, told the court that he had visited his rented storage locker shortly after police had searched it and found that a number of things, including one of his one-of-a-kind 3.5-foot-tall wooden Tony Montana statue, were missing. His complaint kicked off a voir dire, the trial within a trial, in which the four officers were questioned about whether they had removed anything from the locker. All four were adamant that nothing had been removed. After being shown surveillance video in which Rennie could be seen leaving the unit with a large object in his arms, the officer said that it was a heater he had come upon in the storage locker facility that had a free sign on it. The other three officers says they had no memory of Rennie taking the heater. Wolcombe Rennie's story about finding the heater false and dismissed the testimony of the other three, pointing out that all four left together and would have seen bulky object he was carrying. I cannot accept the convenient memory losses, she wrote. Perhaps they never suspected a drug dealer would complain or be believed if he did. Perhaps they believed that the video cameras in the facility, which were being charged, changed, were not working. She wrote that although the charges against Somerville were serious, that to stay them would prevent a trial, which it was highly likely Mr. Somerville would otherwise have been found guilty. She had no alternative. The officers are scheduled to appear in court on June 4th in Brampton. Well, that's good. You know, I'm really disappointed in the police in general. There are some good police, but generally, not so much. And, you know, we have the RCMP, which is the Queen's police, and I think the OPP as well, maybe not the OPP, but definitely the RCMP, are working as bellboys to bring in illegal immigrants into the country. They don't sit there and say, you can't come across here. If you do come across, we're going to pitch you back where you came from. Now, that would be protecting your border. If you're coming across at border crossings that really aren't border crossings, and the police are standing on the other side of the border saying, sorry, you can't come through here, and these migrants walk across anyways, and then the police carry their luggage, put in the SUVs, and take them somewhere that they're going to be instantly led into the country. That's not protecting the border. So the police don't work for you. They don't work for me. They work for the province, which is a corporation under the Crown Corporation. So, you know, they're doing whatever the corporate bosses tell them to do. And I'm sure a lot of the police know that what they're doing is unlawful. It may not be illegal, but it's most definitely unlawful. Legal and lawful being opposite ends of the spectrum. And it's a legal system which has enslaved us, not the law system, because we don't have a system of law. We have a system of legalities. Big, big difference. So, it's nice to see somebody get busted. Let me see what else we got here. Gas prices spike. I think it's $1.62 on the West Coast. And that's all about getting you out of your car, getting you onto the transit, which is another global agenda. So we got here, police monitored Black Lives Matter, Toronto protesters in 2016, documents show, oh no. What else we got here? Let me see. Now, this is another stupid, this is another dumbass thing that's going on in the country. Edmonton couple wins fight to adopt after province reverses decision based on religious beliefs. Adoption application initially rejected because of traditional views of sexuality. An Edmonton couple can now adopt a child after the province reversed its initial decision based on their traditional views of sexuality. The couple, who are evangelical Christians, are not identified in court documents. They took legal action last November when their adoption application was rejected on the basis that their religious views did not support LGBTQ, WXYZ identities. On Tuesday, the Justice Center of Constitutional Freedoms released a letter from Alberta Children's Services and informed the couple that their case had been removed or reviewed and the adoption rejection reversed. The initial decision is rescinded and your application is now approved, states the letter from a senior manager. The couple's lawyer, John Carpe, said they are thrilled and despite what they've been through, that has not diminished their enthusiasm of adopting a child. It's positive that governments are reminded that they cannot discriminate against people on account of religion, he said. The news came after the couple filed an application seeking judicial review of their rejected adoption application. One of the prospective parents who was adopted as a newborn had long considered adopting a child, but had a compassionate interest in adopting older children, according to judicial review. When asked by the caseworker how they would handle a child questioning his or her sexuality, the couple indicated that in accordance with their sincere religious belief, they would provide such a child with loving guidance and support such a child needed. The couple explained that they understand children will decide for themselves what to think and how to behave, the document states. Initially, Catholic Social Services, which conducted the adoption application assessment, recommended the adoption be approved, but in March 2017, another letter informed the couple that the recommendation had been reversed because they would be unable to help a child with sexual identity issues. In a meeting 2 months later, a caseworker told the couple that the Child and Family Services considered the religious beliefs about sexuality and a rejection of the children with LGBTQ sexual identities and claimed that this view was the official position of the Alberta government. The decision was final, they were told. Carpe, the lawyer, said that many Canadians, including Jews, Muslims, and Christians, hold traditional beliefs. that sexuality is only expressed in marriage between one man and one woman. I find it baffling that some people cannot grasp that you could love your child but disagree with their behavior. CBC requests a comment from the Alberta Children's Ministry, Danielle Lavery, on her press secretary, that a statement was issued by the department confirming the adoption rejection was rescinded. The government, as a quote, rejects the rights and freedoms afforded to the Alberta, to all Albertans, or respects, excuse me, the rights and freedoms afforded to all Albertans under the charter, including freedom of belief as well as equality rights. The email said families are not denied adoption based on religious beliefs, and a diversity of belief systems can be found in the Alberta families and homes that have been approved to adopt a child. Now, this whole thing about, on Tuesday I was talking about the Global Pluralism group under the Aga Khan, and this is another case of this nonsense. You know, they're always yapping off about diversity and inclusiveness. Yet, the people who founded this country on their beliefs, of which this country was supposed to have been founded on those beliefs, are getting hammered left, right, and center, showing the door, so to speak. You're not wanted anymore. So this is not about inclusivity. This is about excluding people, the very people that built this country. It's about throwing all traditional values out the window, which is, causing the deterioration of the fabric of this nation. And it's got to stop. It absolutely has to stop. You know, the children are being groomed in the schools to become part of the LGBTQ, and that's sickening. You know, it should be, you know, if you may as well just add every letter, if you want inclusiveness, then add every letter of the alphabet. Because anything less is to exclude the majority of the population. The LGBTQ makes up, what, 2% maybe of the population max? Maybe 0.2%? And this 0.2% or 2%, I don't know what the actual number is, but I do know it's damn low, are influencing judicial decisions. But then again, this is all coming out of the UN, isn't it? I've said, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds of times by now, two things have to happen for the globalists to get what they want. One is the extermination of the Christian faith, and the other is the ripping up and burning of the American Constitution. Those two things are the only two things that have been holding up the globalists from the getting to the goal line. And so they're trying to take down those last two stumbling blocks any way they can. And if they do that, that is the demise of North America. That is the end of North America, as you think you know it. And they've been at this for hundreds and hundreds of years. And we got to stop them. Plain and simple. We got to stop them. Now, this whole Muslim thing is a bit of a problem. It's a huge problem, but it's just a continuation of the problem. You see, when our forefathers came here, there was three things they didn't want around them: Catholics, lawyers, and Jews. They had pegged them for what they are, the foxes, weasels, and the snakes. They came here to get away from that crap, to get out from under the boot of tyranny. And over generations, we've become weak of the spirit, mind, and spine. And now we're run by the weasels, snakes, and the foxes. They've taken control. Now, I keep hearing people talking about Judeo-Christian tradition, the Judeo-Christian tradition. There is no such thing as a Judeo-Christian tradition, because Judaism and Christianity are like legal and law. They're like oil and water. They don't mix. And the Judeo-Christian tradition, so to speak, what people like to call it, didn't exist until around 1940. It didn't really get off the ground till then. And they used the war and the phony Holocaust to push this tradition, to get people to accept Jews, not push them away. Now, I don't know what the Jewish population in this country is. I suppose I could find out. Let me see what we got here. How many Jews live in Canada, Stan? How many? One. No, I'm just kidding. Let's see. How many Jews were in the world? How many Jewish population by country? Basic demographics of Canadian Jewish community. Jewish Canadians. Let me see. Jewish population by country. Maybe we can dig it out from there. Let's see what we can dig out here. That's a damn star, David. Let's see. Canada. Core Jew population in Canada says 385,000 people. Population per Jewish person, I don't know what that means, 90. And the enlarged Jewish population, this is all Canada, 550,000 people. So let's just round it out to 500,000 people, give or take. So 500,000 people in Canada are Jewish. Now, the population of Jews in Canada when they started this Judeo-Christian nonsense would have been far smaller. But regardless, even then, if it was 300,000 or 500,000, and we have a population of basically 36 million, they're a drop in the bucket. So what is this Judeo-Christian tradition they talk about? Well, it's a scam. Just like the legal system is not law. It's about the taking down of the West. Now, why are they trying to take down the West? Well, Rome, don't forget, in the Reformation, which took place 500 years ago, which outed the Pope and Catholicism and the Jews, and created the Protestants. And these are our original forefathers that came here, for the most part. Didn't want anything to do with those three groups. So they don't forget, and over time and through generational deceptions and manipulations, fired up the Judeo-Christian tradition, which is a complete and total scam. And if most of the people that came here were of European blood, then most of them at the beginning were Protestants, who didn't want anything to do with the Jews, the Catholics, or the lawyers. And they outed them. They called them out for what they were, a satanic group of badass people. But it only takes a few to make a mess of things. So if we go to, where are we here? Here we have, I know a lot of people don't like Wikipedia, but again, I like it because it has so many interesting links, and you don't necessarily have to follow the links on Wikipedia, but it gives you a bunch of stuff that you can go and look up yourself in old writings. You can find it in other documents. This just gives you a brief oversight, but then it gives you lots of things that you need to go look at. So this article is about the term grouping Judaism and Christianity, which you can't do. Right? You can't do it. You can't group those two groups. So it goes on, for the 20th century American concept of common value shared between the two religions, see Judeo-Christian ethics. For modern Christians who retain a Jewish identity, or Mesoamic Judaism, or see that, for converts from Judaism to early Christianity, see Jewish Christian. For the intersection in general of Judaism and Christian, see Christianity and Judaism. Judeo-Christian is a term that groups Judaism and Christianity, either in reference to Christian's definition or deviation from Judaism, or due to perceived parallels or commonalities, shared values between those two religions, which has contained as part of the Western culture. Now, the whole UN and before that, the League of Nations are always looking for commonalities. Okay? They're always looking to blend things that don't blend together in order to move towards their world religion and their world government. They're always looking for commonalities. The term became prevalent towards the middle of the 20th century in the United States. The middle of the 20th century. That would be the 1950s. So the Judeo-Christian tradition is not a tradition. The tradition goes back a long ways. That ain't a long ways. To link broader principles of Judeo-Christian ethics, such as the dignity of human life, adherence to Abrahamic covenant, common decency, and support of traditional family values. The concept of Judeo-Christian values in an ethical, and then in brackets, rather than theological, or let's just say, linguistic sense, was used by George Orwell. In 1939. Okay, so it's taking away the theological. Okay, in other words, it's taking away the spiritual point of these two so-called religions. Okay, and bringing it to humanism. Okay, because God didn't create humans. God created man. Man created humans. Okay, human is an animal. God gave man dominion over the animals. Okay, so this is a complete and total fraud. It's a linguistic deception. So it was used by George Orwell in 1939, with the phrase "a Judeo-Christian scheme of morals," a scheme of morals, not morals, but a scheme of morals. It has become part of the American civil religion since the 1940s. Okay, civil is basically a feudal system, slavery. The related, let's see, Abrahamic religions includes Bahá'ísm, Bahá'ísm, Islam, Druze, etc., as well as Judaism and Christianity. Okay, so it's about removing the beliefs of our forefathers, because they were standing their ground against the Catholics, Rome, Vatican, Pope, Jews, lawyers, and that were run by these people. The term is used as Judeo-Christian at least as far back as in a letter from Alexander McCall dated October 17th, 1821. Now, I haven't looked this guy up. I'm going to have to look him up and see who he is. You can look him up. You punch in Judeo-Christian and go to Wikipedia. You will read what I'm reading and look this guy up. Who is this guy? Dated October 17, 1821. And why did he write it? The term in this case referred to Jewish converts to Christianity. Okay, so when he wrote Judeo-Christian, he wasn't talking about a melding of Judeo and or Judaism and Christianity. He was specifically talking about Jewish people who converted to Christianity. Whole different ballgame. The term is used similarly by Joseph Wolff in 1829, referring to a style of church that would keep with some Jewish traditions in order to convert Jews. So the idea of Judeo-Christian in the beginning was to convert the Jews to Christianity. That's not how it turned out, though. Let's see, use of the German term, which I can't read, which in brackets is Jewish Christian, in a decidedly negative sense, can be found in the late writings of Friedrich Nietzsche. Now, Nietzsche I got no use for, because he went to a Catholic university or a Catholic school or seminary, wherever the hell he was at, I don't remember, that was trying to figure out how to kill God. This is the Catholics again. And Nietzsche was kind of messed up because his father, who was a pastor, died of brain cancer or something, and he was pissed off at God because he didn't think his dad should die. And he got pissed off at God. And then he hooked up with the Catholics. And this Nietzsche guy, I mean, he's taught in philosophy in the universities and that. He's a complete nutcase. Died insane. But this is a philosophy that helps to push the globalist agendas that otherwise Nietzsche, you'd never heard of the guy, who emphasized that what he saw was a neglected aspects of continuity between the Jewish worldview and that of Christianity. The expression appears in The Antichrist, published in 1895 and written several years earlier. A fuller development of Nietzsche's argument can be found in a prior work on the genealogy of morality. Now, he was a humanist as well, which is the whole deal here. It's about humanism. Get rid of God, turn people into animals, and we're going to control them, basically. Christianity inherits the notion of a covenant from the Second Temple of Judaism in the form of the Old Testament. Two major views of the relationship exist, namely the New Covenant theology and the Dual Covenant theology. In addition, although the order of the books in the Protestant Old Testament, excluding the biblical, I can't say that word, and the Tanakh, the Hebrew Bible, differ the contents of the books, the contents of the books are very similar. The Christian Old Testament is thus Jewish scripture and is used as a moral and spiritual teaching material throughout the Christian world. The prophets, patriarchs, and heroes of the Jewish scripture is also known in Christianity, which uses the Jewish text as the basis for its understanding of biblical figures such as Abraham, Elijah, and Moses. As a result, a substantial amount of Jewish and Christian teachings are based on a common sacred text, okay, a commonality, right? But the Jews don't recognize Jesus, okay? Don't want nothing to do with the guy. So there's a big problem here. They're trying to turn something into something that it is not. Promoting the concept of United States as a Judeo-Christian nation based upon Judeo-Christian ethics first became a political program in the 1940s, World War II, in response to the growth of the anti-Semitism in America. Okay? So we got a Second World War, basically started by Jewish bankers, to create the State of Israel and the United Nations. And this Judeo-Christian ethics was part of a political program in response to the growth of anti-Semitism in America. Jews played a small role in that, but the rise of anti-Semitism in the 1930s led to concerned Protestants, Catholics, and Jews. Now, this is extraordinarily important. The Protestants didn't want nothing to do with the Jews, didn't want nothing to do with the Catholics, and didn't want nothing to do with Rome or the Vatican or the Pope or lawyers, because lawyers don't deal in law. They deal in the legal system, of which only they, you can't even give an opinion unless you're a lawyer. That doesn't tell you a lot about the law that we are supposedly under. So the rise of anti-Semitism in the 1930s led concerned Protestants, Catholics, and Jews to take steps to increase mutual understanding and lessen the high levels of anti-Semitism in the United States. Well, there was a reason. There was a reason for anti-Semitism. Okay? There was a reason for it. In this effort, precursors of the National Conference of Christians and Jews created teams consisting of a priest, a rabbi, and a minister to run programs across the country and fashion a more pluralistic America. Now, what's being shoved down our throat today? Pluralism. And who's at the head of the global pluralist group? I forget what it's called, the last word in it. I was talking about it on Tuesday, which Aga Khan, who is an Ismaili Muslim, head of the Ismaili Muslims, is in charge of pushing a pluralistic Canada and world, a pluralistic world. No longer defined as a Christian land, but one nurtured by the three emboldening traditions, Protestantism, Catholicism, and Judaism. The phrase Judeo-Christian entered the contemporary lexicon as the standard liberal term for the idea that Western values rest on a religious consensus that included Jews. You've been conned. Plain and simple. Through soul searching in the aftermath of the Holocaust, there was a revolution in Christian theology in America. Because now all the Christian people were taught that it's a terrible thing what they did to the Jews. 6 million Jews exterminated in Germany. Totally false. Absolutely 100% false. But those so-called Christians who had sold their souls jumped on the bandwagon with the Catholics and the Jews. It is no longer a Christian society. It is a false Christian society run by the Jews and the Catholics and the crooked preachers. And that's a fact. So, the greatest shift in Christian attitudes towards the Jewish people since Constantine converted the Roman Empire, the rise of Christian Zionism, that is, religiously motivated Christian interest and support for the State of Israel, which was part of the plan for the Second World War, was to create the State of Israel. Along with a group of Philo-Semitism, has increased interest among American evangelists in Judaism, especially areas in commonality, that's that UN lingo again, globalist lingo, with their own beliefs. During the late 1940s, evangelical proponents of the new Judeo-Christian approach lobbied Washington for diplomatic support in the new State of Israel. The evangelicals have never wavered in their support for Israel. On the other hand, by the late 1960s, mainline Protestant denominations and the National Council of Churches were showing more support for Palestine than for Israel. Interest in a positive attitude towards America's Judeo-Christian had become mainstream among evangelicals. The scriptural basis for this new positive attitude towards Jews among evangelicals is in which Genesis 12:3, in which God promises that he will bless those who bless Abraham and his descendants, and curse those who curse them. See also the Abrahamic covenant. Other factors in the new Philo-Semitism include gratitude to the Jews for contributing to the theological foundations of Christianity, total load of bunk, and for being the source of the prophets and Jesus. Remorse for the church's history of anti-Semitism and fear that God will judge the nations at the end of time on the basis of how they treated the Jewish people. Total load of bunk again. Moreover, many evangelical Israelites is seen as the instrument through which prophecies of the end times are fulfilled. Great numbers of Christian pilgrims visit Israel, especially in times of trouble for the Jewish state, to offer moral support and return with even greater sense a shared Judeo-Christian heritage. Our forefathers got to be rolling in their graves or kicking, trying to get the hell out of the box. They come and give us a swat up the back of the head. Are you people completely stupid? Apparently, yes. Response of the Jews towards the Judeo-Christian concept have been mixed in the 1930s in the face of worldwide anti-Semitic efforts to stigmatize and destroy Judaism. Influence of Christians and Jews in America labored to uphold it, pushing Judaism from the margins of American religion life to its very center. During World War II, Jewish chaplains worked with Catholic priests and Protestant ministers to promote goodwill, addressing the servicemen who in many cases had never seen, much less heard, a rabbi speak before. At funerals for the unknown soldier, rabbis stood alongside the other chaplains and recited prayers in Hebrew. In a much publicized wartime tragedy, the sinking of the Dorchester, the ship's multi-faith chaplains gave up their life belts to evacuating seamen and let them, and they prayed as the ship went down. In the 1960s, a spiritual and cultural revival washed over American Jewry in response to the trauma of the Holocaust. Huh? American Jews became more confident to be identified as different. What happened to the commonalities? They became more confident to be identified as different, not the same as. Two notable books address the relations between contemporary Judaism and Christianity. Abba Hillel Silver's Where Judaism Differs and Leo Beck's Judaism and Christianity, both motivated by an impulse to clarify Judaism's distinctiveness. What happened to the commonalities? In a world where the term Judeo-Christian had obscured critical differences between the two faiths, reacting against the blurring of theological distinctions, Rabbi Isler Berkelvelt wrote that Judaism is Judaism because it rejects Christianity. And Christianity is Christianity because it rejects Judaism. You see, there are no commonalities. Never were, never will be. Just like legal and law, they take terms that have the opposites and keep repeating them in the same sentence until the fools believe it's a good thing. Theologian and author Arthur A. Cohen, in The Myth of Judeo-Christian Tradition, questioned the theological validity of the Judeo-Christian concept and suggested it was essentially an invention of American politics. Bingo! While Jacob Nasser in The Jews and Christians, The Myth of a Common Tradition writes, the two faiths stand for different people talking about different things to different people. No commonalities whatsoever. Law professor Stephen M. Feldman, looking at the period before 1950, chiefly in Europe, sees religious conflict in as suppressionism. Once one recognized that Christianity has historically engendered anti-Semitism, then this so-called tradition appears as dangerous Christian dogma, at least from a Jewish perspective. For Christians, the concept of Judeo-Christian tradition comfortably suggests that Judeo progresses into Christianity, that Judaism is somehow completed in Christianity. The concept of a Judeo-Christian tradition flows from the Christian theology of suppression, whereby the Christian covenant or testament of with God supersedes the Jewish one. Christianity, according to this belief, reforms and replaces Judaism. The belief, therefore, implies first that Judaism needs reformation and replacement, and second, that modern Judaism remains merely as a relic. Most importantly, the belief of the Judeo-Christian tradition insidiously obscures the rest of significant differences between Judaism and Christianity. No commonalities whatsoever. Now, before we get out of here, I want to get to this last piece. And I invite anyone listening to just put in Judeo-Christian, go to Wikipedia, follow some of the links, and then when you follow those links, you should get more links and you should have more questions. You should be looking for more answers. And then you too will understand that the whole thing, Judeo-Christian, is a complete and total fraud. Not unlike global warming and every other fraud that these globalists have stung you with. Now, this is where it gets important. In the beginning, it was the Protestants, the crooked Protestants, those who had sold their souls to this globalist idea, the Catholics and the Jews, who were going to the congregations and saying that we have commonalities. We need not be separate, we need to be together. because we have these commonalities. Well, as you go down, you find out there are no commonalities whatsoever. Okay? It's a using religion as a political tool. Now, we get to the role of Islam, and this is extraordinarily important for you to understand. Because then you will understand who's behind this rise of Islam in the West and why it must be stomped down and why it must be stopped. The so-called Judeo-Christian ethics or tradition should have never been allowed to get off the ground. But through deception and propaganda and so on and so forth, it took hold. Now we have the role of Islam. Advocates of the term the Abrahamic religion since the second half of the Savaka, the Abrahamic religion, that would be the crooked Protestant preachers, the Catholics and the Jews, since the second half of the 20th century, have proposed a hyper-ecumenicism that emphasizes not only Judeo-Christian commonalities, of which we've proven there are none, but that would include Islam as well. And in brackets, a rationale for the term Abrahamic being that while only Christians in Judaism give the Hebrew Bible, Old Testament, the status of Scripture, Islam does also trace its origins to the figure of Abraham as the first Muslim. Advocates of this umbrella term consider it the exploration of something positive in the sense of a spiritual bond between the Jews, the Christians, and the Muslims. Now, all you Christians out there and all you Jews out there whining and complaining that Islam is dangerous, Islam is against everything we believe in, and is to take over the world, well, guess who is implementing it? The Jews, the Catholics, and the Christians, the so-called Christians. I don't like the word Christian because the word Christian came out of basically Rome. I like the word Protestant because these are the guys under Martin Luther that went, whoa, hold the phone here. This whole thing's a nasty fraud. What's going on in Rome, which claimed to be Christian. So I don't like the word Christian because Christian really is Catholicism. And as Martin Luther pointed out, it's actually Satanism. That's their God. Now the Jews got the boot. How are they God's chosen people? It may have been at one time, but they got the freaking boot. And they weren't to have a state or a land until the second coming. But they don't believe in Jesus, so they ain't believing in a second coming, so they want to take control of the world. That will be the state. Because it's all satanic. So now you've got who started the Judeo-Christian movement, who got it into place, are the same people now, or the same groups of people now, who want to join the commonalities of Islam with the commonalities of Judaism and Christianity. But we found out there are no commonalities between Judaism and Christianity, and there are most certainly no commonalities between Christianity and Islam. Yet the people that go to the churches got to be some of the most easily deceived people on the freaking planet. They got deceived into the Judeo-Christian nonsense, and now they're being deceived into the Judeo-Christian Islamic nonsense. Now, if you don't think that the Jews are behind this, you're an idiot. We had last Christmas, or the Christmas, I think it was last Christmas, or the Christmas before, they had a Christmas dinner between the federal MPs, but only ones invited were the Jewish MPs and the Islamic MPs, who joined together for a Christmas dinner with which neither one recognized. And these people say, well, the Jews aren't behind. Oh, yeah, they are. And so is Rome. And so are the Catholics. And so are your dirty Protestant preachers. And if we're going to save this nation, you people had better get your brains straight. This influx of Islam is not by mistake. It is the same template they use to implement Judeo-Christian. And that didn't work out well for us. And this next stage is going to work out even worse. You're looking at the demise of your traditions, the demise of the future of your country. I mean, we already have the ex-liberal prime minister, Paul Martin, who was one of the founders of the G20, telling the students at Ottawa, you're going to have to give up your sovereignty, don't make world work. For who? Certainly not us. Then you got Stephen Harper at the G20 meeting, which was set up. The G20 was one of the founding members, was the liberal prime minister, Paul Martin. And now you got the conservative prime minister, Harper, saying at the G20 that this is a loss of national sovereignty. Some people don't like it, but it's a simple reality. And then we have Justin Trudeau, who is now the liberal prime minister of Canada, who says Canada is the first post-national state. Do you get any of this, people? I certainly hope so. Because time's dragging on. And you're at some point going to have to wake up and stand up and say no. And you better learn how powerful the word no is, and you better learn to use it. But again, I invite you to go through this thing, read it, follow the links, see where they lead you, and realize that you have been completely conned again. You better strengthen your spirit, your mind, and your spine, or your offspring have zero future. It's that simple. I think we're about out of time here, so we'll be back Sunday over at Revolution Radio, and we'll broadcast that over here to UCY. And I wish everybody a wonderful day, and I hope the weather warms up. And one last time, put in Judeo-Christian, read it, follow the links, get some education, and then you will understand how we got where we are, and how these same groups that set up Judeo-Christian are setting up Judeo-Christian Islam. And that, if allowed to happen, is the end of your nation. Take care, everybody. We're out of here because I hear music. We're out of time. Take care. Have a great night. And we'll see you over on Sunday at Peace Radio Podcast. Selling lies and buying time. Killing people next in line. Lower classes. Good night. They don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, Caesarship, force of air, fuck them back, it's all